In the coming decades, the senior population is set to double. The number of people over the age of 85 will nearly triple. The aging population is rising, but the number of elder care workers is shrinking, and it's raising questions about how we can empathetically care for our elders as a society and in our families. To talk more about this, we're joined now by Dr. Elizabeth Eggstrom. She's chief of geriatrics at Oregon Health and Science University and the author of the book, The Gift of Caring. Elizabeth, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
There is going to be a demand for millions of healthcare workers in the coming decades, not to mention geriatricians, geriatric nurses. How prepared is the country for that?
We're absolutely unprepared. You know, in the past, I think our country and others have relied primarily on family members to do care for elders, and that is just shrinking and shrinking, and probably worse here than other places in the world, but happening everywhere. And what's happening is that there are so many elders that we just aren't having enough young people who can do that role. When I travel around the world, I notice that other places still have a family infrastructure that allows for some elder care, but here in the U.S., it's very fragmented and almost gone. So instead, we rely on paid caregivers, and there just aren't enough of them. And one of the things is that it requires a fair bit of training, and yet the pay is extremely low. People walk into those jobs and just realize that they're incredibly hard, and it's really hard to retain people in that field.
The Washington Post recently did a spotlight on one state, the state of Maine, which has the oldest population in the country. A fifth of the population is older than the age of 65. But we know this is going to be happening in more and more states. Is it possible that the federal programs, I'm thinking of things like Medicare, Medicaid, can help fill these gaps?
Yeah, well, Medicare right now does not pay for any of these services. Medicare is kind of strictly hospitals, physician practices. They will pay for in-home skilled nursing services if somebody needs that after a hospitalization or something. But any of the long-term support and services that older adults need is not covered by Medicare at all. That could certainly change. It would be wonderful if it did. Now, Medicaid does pick up a fair bit of this work, but unfortunately, you have to be pretty poor to qualify for Medicaid. So a lot of elders just don't qualify for it. And I think, you know, expanding the Medicaid program could be helpful as well. But somehow we need to kind of pick up that gap for people who are above the cutoff for Medicaid. There needs to be some ability to have financial support for caregiving, which is very expensive.
I wonder if you see any overlap with the debate we're having over immigration right now, because immigrants disproportionately make up a lot of the workforce serving the elderly. And if we are also reducing our immigration population, is that fueling this worker crisis?
Absolutely. I think that as the immigration rates go down, as people are more kind of afraid to be in the workforce here, if they are in our country undocumented, it will become harder and harder to find caregivers for older adults. And we don't have an answer to that question right now. There's no other workforce that's taking it over. You know, young Americans are not stepping into roles to kind of fill in some of those gaps. So it's making the crisis even more acute at this point in time.
Why do you think younger Americans don't want those jobs?
Oh, we have a culture of youth here. There's just so little respect for older adults. There's so little understanding of how valuable and meaningful relationships can be with older adults. We don't foster intergenerational relationships very strongly right now. All of those things have kind of happened gradually, but are really coming to a peak right now, so that young people don't really have much access to older adults. And that's something that we really need to change.
You referenced other countries. I mean, obviously, this is a global problem. Other countries are also confronting aging populations. Do you see any good models in other countries for elder care service? And if so, what do they look like?
I think some of the countries that have put in place social services for this are places like Sweden, where if you're older, you have a disability, you need care, they have in-home workers that can go see you as often as every 2 hours. They're not there 24/7, but they can stop by every 2 hours. And that is all paid for under the state or the country health insurance, so that you do not have any out-of-pocket expenses and can get a visitor that frequently. I don't know that anyone has the perfect answer yet. I think we have need for lots more research into what really works and then how to pay for it, because that's one of the biggest glitches right now.
Well, how to pay for it seems like one of the bigger questions, which is if the government can come up with a solution, it does seem that the burden still falls to families, right, to care for their elders.
Correct.
Care perspective, does that mean that elders are getting substandard care, and that many family workers are just, they're not healthcare professionals?
Yeah. It's hard to define substandard care. I mean, I think people are trying their hardest most of the time. You know, one of the things that we highlighted in our book, The Gift of Caring, that you referenced early, was that even my co-author, Marcy Houle, who is very savvy, you know, a really smart woman, she felt in so many times that she just, you know, didn't know the right answer. And she's highly educated and just in these conundrums where she didn't know what to do. And, you know, that was after all, she had basically sacrificed her own career during that period of her life. She was trying to raise kids. And I think a lot of us are in that boat where we're trying to do elder care without the skills we need. It's really not even fair to have those expectations of our family members. And yet we do.
Families face so many healthcare problems, but one very common one is the question of dementia. Can you talk a little bit about how significant dementia affects the aging population and what you think people really need to understand about it?
Well, first of all, people need to understand that it's not a normal part of aging. I think a lot of people think that cognitive impairment is just comes with growing older.
Yeah.
And yet it's not. There are a few things that are normal with aging, which we probably all recognize on a daily basis if we're over age 50 or so. And that is that we have more trouble with word finding. We might forget names. They might come back to us later and we're like, oh, darn it. It's also normal to have slowed speed of processing. Now, we probably all realize that we're not as good at double tasking as we thought we were, but that is a normal part of aging. But it's not normal to have true memory gaps. It's not normal to start to, you know, have trouble with finances so that you can't do them at all. There are a lot of things about dementia that are not normal, and that's what we really need to identify. Now, it does occur differently in age groups. So 65 to 75, probably only 2 to 4% of people have it. 75 to 85, it's probably more like 16%. Over 85, some figures quoted as high as about 40% of people will have true dementia. Another thing I think a lot of people don't realize is that there are things you can do to prevent it.
Like what?
You know, if you are walking regularly and doing Tai Chi regularly, which has some nice evidence for reducing risk of dementia, if you're eating the Mediterranean diet, if you're staying engaged both cognitively and socially, all of those things reduce the risk of developing dementia. Honestly, some of the research studies that show the best risk reduction for dementia start at age like 35 to 55.
Wow.
But you can start doing those things at any age, even if you're already 82 and starting to have some memory decline. You can still change habits and have your cognition be protected.
What is your best advice for caregivers who are dealing with a parent or loved one who is dealing with the effects of dementia in later ages?
Yeah, so a couple things that I talk about a lot are how do you be in the moment with that person? You know, a lot of times somebody with dementia will be like, oh, I'm waiting for mom to come home. And the lovely daughter caregiver says, Mom, your mom's been dead for 20 years. And for that person with dementia, that is new information every single time they hear it. So anything about reality orientation, you know, oh, it's time to get up and go to breakfast and it's 2 a.m. Don't say, no, it's not time to get up and go to breakfast. Just say, hey, how about we take a little walk and then we're going to try to head back to bed. Using distraction, using ways to kind of change the scene so that incorrect perception doesn't raise problems, doesn't raise frustrations in the relationship is one thing that I say. The other thing that I say for caregivers is remember that your attitude shapes their perceptions. And if you can keep your attitude light and fresh and friendly and loving at all times, you're going to be able to connect with your loved one who has dementia, no matter how late stage their dementia is. You know, being able to maintain that positive attitude no matter what the situation, very, very challenging, but helps make sure that that person with dementia feels loved, feels cared for, feels needed, feels important. And then the third big tip I give people is you've got to take care of yourself.
Yeah, who cares for the caregivers?
Yeah, prevent yourself from getting dementia. But really, in reality, if you're not sleeping enough, if you're not maintaining your own social life, you're going to have a decline. And so many times, you know, the caregiver dies before the person with dementia because dementia can linger for many years and that caregiver might just really, you know, run out of steam before the person with dementia does.
Well, Dr. Ekstrom, thank you so much for your time.
It's a pleasure. Nice to talk with you.
That's Elizabeth Ekstrom, Chief of Geriatrics at Oregon Health and Science University.